There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
G, 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 take me away. G, 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 take me today. G, 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 G,
Welcome to another episode of The Gary Hour. I'm your host, Gary Levitt. This week, we talk to comedian Usama Siddique. He's been on the podcast before, where we talked about him being from Bangladesh, growing up in Texas, and coming to New York. But this week, we talked to him about his comedy tour in India. He just got back from there, so we hear some stories fresh from the road. This episode is brought to you by Future Moments, makers of mobile apps for content creation. Whether you're a filmmaker, musician, voiceover artist, or podcaster, they have a mobile app that makes your life simpler. Go to the App Store and search for Future Moments to see all the apps they have. All right, thanks for listening, and email the show. There's some stuff in the show notes, links and all that. Enjoy. All right, man. Welcome back. Second return.
Oh, the sequel, Gary Lev.
Except now you have something very exciting to talk about. You just got back from a tour of India.
India.
But you're from Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm.
And you were on an earlier episode where you revealed that the reason for
that
your
was
dark
an intense
skin.
Episode. That had to have like a delayed release because I was scared the terrorists were going to get me.
I basically saved your life by not releasing that.
Because it was right after, like, I think terrorists shot up a coffee shop in Bangladesh.
Yeah,
and so it was like hot times.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I didn't see any terrorists out there, but definitely a lot of beards out there
in Bangladesh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, if we released that episode and it got back to your family or people, distant family
who
there.
Who knows? Yeah. Oof. They don't even mess around. Those guys do not mess around.
That kind of is testament to how selfless I am with comedy, because that would have freed up a lot of spots here in New York City.
Right.
If you just died over there.
People have been gunning for me, dude. I'm telling you. If it used to be, it's so funny because when you first get spots in New York, right? So everyone will. There's haters everywhere, right? Haters in the swamp. They're always ready to pop up, mm-hmm. and throw the shade, right? So whenever I first started getting stuff, the haters were saying like, "Oh, he's just getting it because he's brown."
Yeah.
"Oh, he's not that funny. He's just getting it because he's brown," right? And then as you keep doing it, some things start to become undeniable,
right?
And so they'll say, the haters will then have said like, "Oh, well, he's not that funny,"
right?
Which implies that now you can't go against the fact that you're funny.
Yeah.
Now you have to do a gradient level roast. You know what I'm saying? Well, he's not that funny. All right. Well, yeah, he's funny. Okay, but he's not even the hater was like, "All right, he's funny," and eventually. Eventually it's just like they'll go to like the next level is like, "Well, he's getting too much stuff for how young he is." There's always something to attack. And so
are you getting haters?
There's a couple of haters out there.
Do you know who they are?
It's a here and there. I learned over the years. I mean, eventually I just don't give a fuck anymore, but mm-hmm. back in the day it used to like affect me. I was like, "Why? I'm just here trying to work, man. I'm just trying to hear."
Yeah,
we're all trying to grow, right? But eventually it just becomes such a like a din in the back of your brain, like you don't even conceive of that.
Yeah.
Because once your self-confidence grows in your own shit, then you're just like, what am I?
I'm so lucky I don't have that jealousy thing. Like, if someone's doing well, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
You know, I still can be as best as I'm going to be.
You're a guy who almost died in an earthquake, all right? Yes. After that, I don't forget that. The idea is like...
Did I tell that story on
that
episode?
You did, you did. And after I heard that, I was like, dude, this guy, how do you almost die in an earthquake and then look at... fucking Jerry McOpen Mike and get jealous. It's like, dude, you're alive.
Yeah.
You're not a child soldier. Did you kill your uncle today? No? Then shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I'm on my sixth or seventh life, so I'm not worried about Jerry McOpen Mike.
Right, Jerry McOpen. It's the actual name. It's a Christian name. His mom named him because she was an open micer.
So you're from Bangladesh. Had you been to India before?
Mm-hmm.
Because I noticed, and you probably noticed, that they are neighboring countries.
Yes. Yes. But emotionally and grammatically. Yeah, man, I've been there to Kolkata when I was like three.
Where is that? That's in India?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man, dude. Gary. I just realized your coaster has the words oy vey. So I'm like, you are a Jew. You are a Jew. It was Kolkata is in India. It's an eastern part of India. So there's Bangladesh to the east. There's India to the west. And... I'm half Indian, half Bengali. So my mom is from Bangladesh, which is the western part of Bangladesh. My dad's from India. Technically, it's a Bengali-speaking part of India. So ethnically Bengali, nationalistically Indian.
Okay.
It's a state called West Bengal. When the British cut through the partition in 1947, dividing India into Pakistan and East Pakistan and India, the three countries, they cut through the ethnic, like right through ethnic lines. So like right through an ethnic majority. And so Bengalis actually ended up on both sides of the cut. The eastern side became Bangladesh eventually, and the left western side became India. Mm-hmm. But there's a part of it, Kolkata, everyone speaks Bengali there, even though it's in India.
Yeah.
That's where my dad's from.
Okay. But Bangladesh is mostly Muslim, right?
Yeah.
And India is mostly Hindu.
But there's a sizable Muslim population. Sizable. Like it's very high percentage of Muslims.
In India?
Yeah.
Okay, because I read it was like 80% Hindu.
Yeah, but there's like... What's the? I mean, there's a lot.
It's like
Muslims.
1.4 billion people in India.
I mean, exactly. So like 0.01%
is like the size of the United States, probably.
Yeah. Oh, geez, it's so insane. It's so insane. So you get these Indian comics who are like, you know, have like 9 million views off like two stand-up videos because the market's so huge.
Right.
It's so easy to get huge views because once you get a little, one Indian tells another Indian that's just way more insane. We have 1.6 billion. They have what, 3 billion or some shit? Like, I don't even know.
Here in the U.S.?
How many people do we have in the U.S.?
Not even, we have like 350 million.
Right.
Not even a billion.
Oh, right. And then India has a billion.
People like 1 point something.
Some
maybe.
Billion.
Yeah.
Billion.
That's more.
Motherfucker.
So how did you end up touring India?
In India, so they hit me up. There's a comedy club chain in India called... 1 second. I'm trying to find the India
population.
How many Muslims there are.
Well, one just converted, so it's kind
of... Right. As we're talking, the percentage is rising.
It's a moving counter. Make sure you get the live number. So
it's like 13%. Hindus 80, Muslims 13%.
I do my research. You know?
You're good. But exactly 80. It's exactly what you said.
Yes. comedy club chain hit you up here.
Yeah. It's called Canvas Laugh Club in India. They have locations in Delhi, two locations there, and then one in Mumbai. And comedy only started there like 9 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there a free speech problem?
A little bit. It's not that bad. But it's so interesting because Veer Das, who was an American, he was an Indian who grew up in India, went to LA to start comedy there.
Mm-hmm.
He came back to India to start stand-up comedy, like literally Garden of Eden type shit.
Whoa.
Started it 9 years ago. It was all English back then. It was all English comedy. It was actually frowned upon to do Hindi comedy because that wasn't real comedy, quote, quote. Comedy was American, right? So you do English comedy. Eventually... like these people got huge. Some people got huge off YouTube doing Hindi comedy. Then that legitimized Hindi comedy. Again, this is only within 10 years.
Okay, but wait, there has to be a sense of humor embedded into the culture.
Yeah, Indians are very funny.
Yeah, that's right. Comedy is part of human nature.
Right. So, but people, when they first started doing comedy, imagine someone bringing back an alien art form.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, you will only do the art form the way the aliens tell you to do it. right?
Right.
There's no self-expression because all you know to do is how they do it. Eventually, your own self-expression will take over.
Yeah.
And these people who've been joking in Hindi for their entire lives, what, are they going to just do American jokes now?
Right.
No, the way they joke is in Hindi.
So that's the evolution of any art, really.
Exactly. So you have this amazing kind of like self-realized movement where within 3 years, a natural Hindi comedy movement arose. It exploded. So once that happened, Indians went crazy for the stand-up because like that's their story. That's their they can relate to that sort of humor way easier than American English humor.
It sounds like you're kind of like you're at the place of like Facebook is just starting or dude, something it's huge.
Truly amazing. I'm telling you, like it was amazing. It was like seeing a gold rush, right? And it's like jazz. It's like fucking jazz. You got these new school guys who are just doing
jazz
Hindi.
Kind of died out.
They did die out.
More like
the comedy.
More like rock
the comedy's
and roll.
Gonna, not going to die out. We almost out of here. We almost out of here. 15-minute specials
five
on Netflix.
More years. Yeah,
get out of here. We almost done.
Netflix is murdering comedy.
Right, right. Sure. 15-minute specials. We got 20-second specials. Just one joke, one liner.
Yeah.
Click on one liners. Oh, geez, Netflix. But that's a whole other thing. But yeah, it's like they came out of nowhere. They came naturally out of it, and now there's like legions of Hindi comics that are making a lot of money. Because it's such a fucking wild west there.
You can live there and support yourself. And
I was going to comics and I was asking them, like, you know, who are 2 years in.
Yeah.
I was like, what's your side job? They're like, what side job?
No way.
Way, dude. They are making that moolah, dude. Because India is so huge, mm-hmm. so many different markets. Mm-hmm. If you speak Hindi enough, then they'll pay you because it's a new art form. They don't even, the market hasn't figured out how much to pay these guys yet. So they just pay them a lot.
Were you performing in Hindi?
No.
Okay, I
don't even know Hindi.
Yeah.
I love it. That's the correct amount of question mark there as well. You didn't want to assume too much. That was a good level.
Thank you, yeah.
That was a safe space level, you know?
Well, at least I didn't say, were you performing in Indian?
Right.
I got a prop.
What are you doing, Hindu? You were speaking Hindu, right? So funny.
So you were performing in English?
Yes, English. All mm-hmm. English.
And is there a market for that?
There is. There is. Now, they don't like, there's no huge, there's more huge stars in Hindi, but there are American, like not American, but like English-speaking stars as well. Mm-hmm. In general, they will accept both, but they really fuck with the Hindi,
mm-hmm.
and they really fuck with funny comedy. So as long as you're funny, they'll yeah. fuck with you. That's anywhere. That's universal, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing with some of the American references they don't get. So I have to lean on crowd work a lot.
Right.
Crowd work was smashing. Like, they would love it. They love getting shit on. I was doing English. If you're in Mumbai, I did Mumbai and Delhi. If you did Mumbai, easy breezy. No problem.
With the English.
English. Because it's like New York in India. It's okay. A very cosmopolitan city. It's a port city. Port cities have a lot of influences, right?
Yep.
So that natural kind of American English, they understood. They understand the mediums. They've been watching American media for like ever.
Right.
So that even the joke cadence they get.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But Delhi, where I went, a lot more Hindi, very landlocked city. So that's a very much more Hindi-speaking city. So I was killing if it was a younger crowd,
mm-hmm.
if it's 35 or older.
Because the younger crowd speaks more English, probably.
But yeah, they get it. They watch a lot of American media. But the older crowd, I did like two or three older shows.
Yeah.
That was tough. That was tough going. Because they just did not understand. There was no connection there.
Right. And you're pretty high energy. So you have to slow it down.
Yes. I definitely slowed up a lot of my act mm-hmm. for India. It was an act, but from Mumbai, I barely slowed it down. It was kind of crazy.
That's good. Your 2 minute set went for like 10.
10 minutes.
You're really milking that, baby.
One more applause break, guys. Come on. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. And one more time for your host. Keep it going. Host, keep it going for your host. All that. A lot of applause breaks.
Yeah. Would it have been better for you if you knew Hindi?
I don't know, man. Because I wouldn't be real. It wouldn't be joking in my real format.
Right.
You know, I'm doing me over there. I'm not changing it up. My essence for them, because then you're just, you know, you're cooning for them, you're cooning for who knows where that line ends, you know. Yeah. You're just doing whatever for anybody.
How hard is it to learn Hindi?
I know Bengali pretty well, so it's like it wouldn't be that hard. I was learning someone on Mango Languages. Have you heard of this?
Yeah,
I use that.
It's
a
like
lot.
Rosetta Stone.
So good. I've been doing that, and that helped me just learn some Hindi here and there.
Are you tempted to learn Hindi? And
I was learning it there.
Are you tempted to just move there and get in on this?
Nah, New York's the place, dude. And bro, you say you're from New York. It's like a thing. Like,
you're
like
a rock star,
bro.
Yeah,
bro. I'm like I'm from New York, and then like, oh god, there's the moisture on the dick. Like so quick, they love it. They love it, and it's like interesting.
Well, how much of it is New York, and how much of it is just being from the States?
Yeah, it's probably both. And yeah. New York is the statesiest states.
Yes.
That's like the American's America.
But you could be from Buffalo, and you go somewhere, and like, I'm from New York. And it's like, whoa.
That's racist, but like, yeah. Like Indians? Like the way Indians do
No,
it?
I didn't mean like, woo, woo, woo. I meant like, ah, he's a god. I see this entrapment. So how many shows, well, how long were you there for and how many shows did you do?
I did, so I was there for a wedding, Indian wedding, my friend's wedding. It was in Hyderabad, mm-hmm. which is a southern state, southern city. And then I went to Mumbai for shows, did mm-hmm. like 3-4 shows there. Did some alt shows there as well. And then did Delhi, which is like, I did like 8-9 shows there.
All right, let's hear about some of your experiences and then I'll ask you about some comedy specifics because some of the listeners might not be comedians.
Right, okay. So I went to Taj Mahal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you already know about this monkey story.
I read this on your Facebook post. This is
pretty wild, pretty much the most wild thing that's ever happened to me in my life. Uh-huh. Pretty just insane. I as I talk about it, it's still insane to me.
Tell us the story. This is great.
All right. So from Delhi to Taj Mahal. I want to go to Taj Mahal for a day. Just check it out because I'm already in Delhi. I'm like, gotta see this. I'm fucking here in India.
How far of a trip is that?
That is 3 hours of a train.
Okay.
Right. So I'm like, I figure it out. In Indian trains, it's a tough go to figure out. So I try to figure it out. I'm like, all right. Let me get a ticket, and I found the ticket. I didn't really know about the classes of trains. In India, the train cars have different classes. So You got the first class, you got the second class, and you got like poor people in one of the classes, right? So I took the poor people train. It's crazy, dude. People just go crazy. People just fighting each other in the train. Random dudes just like spitting on each other. Just fucking yelling. It was just people just like kicking each other.
Are there seats?
Bro, there's seats, but then like someone will just shove you off and sit there. It's like, it's wild. It's a little intense. It's intense. Dudes just shitting in the corner, just like in public. Just
actual shitting.
Shitting in a corner.
Of the train.
Of the train. No dividers. Shitting on train.
Is there not a bathroom?
There's no bathroom on these trains. It's the poor people train.
Okay, but still, there's the human, like, there's got to be a level.
Bro,
that
Gary,
separates
Gary,
us.
Bro, Gary, I'm telling you.
They just shit in the corner.
Shit in the corner.
And everyone else on the train wasn't like, yo, what are you doing?
The look on his face when he was shitting on the train blew my mind. Because he was shitting on the train. The look on his face wasn't like, oh my God, what a crazy event that's happening. I'm shitting on a train. What a wild thing.
Yeah.
He was taking a shit in public. Look on his face was like, Mondays, huh? Nah, another day, another dollar. Like, this is so a part of his routine. You know what I'm saying? It's so... everyone was looking at him like, well, boys will be boys. Now, it was like, this is so normalized. Like, yeah. The fecal normalization was so ingrained. I couldn't even believe it. And I couldn't look crazy. I couldn't look blown away because if I was, then they would get me. Mm-hmm. You know? Because oh, shit.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, so I couldn't be blown away because I'm terrified right now. If I get seen as an antigen in this system,
yeah,
then they'll rat me out, and who knows what's gonna happen.
You're just trying to blend in.
Blend in.
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta look at them. I gotta look at that guy shitting like it's totally a normal thing.
But what about all the people that have to smell it for the rest of the ride?
Dude, India already smells. It's like not like, you know, again, India is not a backwards country, but there are parts of it that are mad backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So for the entire trip, dude, it was fine. There was no like, oh my God, this is third world shit. There's little pockets of it, but when I got into the pockets of it, it was fucking third world as fuck. Like, mm-hmm. like this poor people train. Again, it's one car at the end of the train. There's first class, there's second class, there's fine there. Everyone's hanging out there. All the people with money is there.
Yeah.
I ended up in this train because I didn't know that I could buy those tickets. I just had no concept of what train car to go to.
Whoa. Uh-huh.
So I just ended up in one of these. And I told my Indian friend about it later. He's like, bro, we don't even do that. Are you kidding me? Like, Indians don't do that. This is the poorest of the poor people that I got into.
Right.
It was insane. And I'm looking at this.
So I imagine people are also trying to steal your stuff.
But I had like zippers on my sweatpants. Mm-hmm. So I just zip it up. So I, you know,
I like that you wore sweatpants. Very fitting for the poor people's train.
Bro. But the homeless guys look good though in India. Like they all got high fades. It's crazy, dude. You don't even know. Like they look amazing. But so I have zippers on my sweatpants. And there was a couple times when I felt like, you know, hands kind of moving around.
Wow.
And I'm looking at the hand moving around and I see him not be able to understand what's going on. Like he feels the phone.
Uh-huh.
But he can't get into my pocket. And because there's a zipper there, it's closed.
So what, were people sandwiched in? Is that why?
Bro, sardines.
Whoa. And you stood like that?
Sat like that. I sat on the very edge. One of my buttocks was in the air. Mm-hmm. My right buttock was like barely on the seat.
And it's just smelling. There's just a waft of...
Just shitting. Just shit. I got to look at the shit like, what are you going to do, huh? Every day. Like, just that was the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Is to make it seem like a guy shitting was just Mondays.
Yeah. Did he wipe? Is there paper?
Did not wipe. But I also realized that, you know, I can't assume that a guy who's cool enough to shit in the public is also going to have just enough manners to wipe his ass afterwards. Who's, you know, that's a bougie public shitter.
Did you ever find out the price difference between that train and the one up from
bought, apparently I didn't know that. I bought a second class train, but I didn't know about that. And I just go into the poor people train.
Oh, no.
I thought 90 rupees was for the poor people. Really, it was a second class train. I just had no idea.
That is, what is that, third class or just no class?
It's just, it's the poop class. I don't know, dude. Yeah. It's third class. It's the poor people class. I'm telling you, it's suffrage. It's fucking, you know, a black slave would have been like, that's a little much. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's fucking intense.
So only one person shit in the corner.
Yeah, it was a good day, I guess. You know
what I'm saying? It's good to take those morning trains.
Yeah, sure. It wasn't that hot. If it was like at 1:30 p.m., that would have just ended everything.
Oh,
just 1:30 p.m. shit. Just fucking that fume. Oof. Hot, bubbling. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, it's probably hot in the train.
Definitely hot.
And the shit is there, and you're just trying not to get robbed.
Yeah.
People smell, I imagine.
Right. But people smell. Everyone's, I mean, like, I saw some soap stores there in India. Very well stocked. Garrett,
that's all.
No one's buying the shit. No one's buying the soap. It's just there. It's just how they're in business because everyone smells in India.
Like body odor.
Body odor is bad. Indian dudes don't deodorize. I don't know what it is about that, but they just don't. I mean, I don't care what class you're in. Indian dudes just love to not deodorize. I don't know what the culture is there.
Does it have something to do with religion? Religious beliefs?
Nah, I don't think so. It's just dirty motherfuckers.
So there's an industry waiting to be born there with deodorant as
right.
well.
Right. Maybe the guy came and was like, by the way, you can... And then he just got speared. He's like, get the fuck... It's not a way of life. Get the fuck out of here.
We have enough bills.
We have enough bills. I don't know. India's amazing, truly. But the one thing is like, and those trains, it just smelled, man. It really did.
So you withstood that for 3 hours?
Yes. Yes, that was bad. And again, I want to stress that India itself is not that smelly. It's just when we're fucking... In the poor people places, it's like, it's a little dank, man. It's got a little stank to it.
Sounds more than a little dank. But,
yeah.
All right. So you're on your way. This is like, all right, great. I'm traveling around India.
It's still cool. I'm still loving it. Like I'm seeing like countryside, you know, eventually, things calm down in the train and then people just kind of chilling, you know, and everyone's hanging out and like, you know, it just kind of chills out. And then I even take a nap. I even fucking take a nap. Like, you know, pickpockets everywhere. I take a nap. I don't know. It worked. I woke up. Still, my step was there. That was pretty a stupid move. Probably just a really rookie shit to do. But I took a nap. Finally got to Taj Mahal 3 hours later. And I'm hungry as fuck. Somehow, I'm still hungry. And I found this place called Rooftop Restaurant. And I go... The rooftop restaurant, and this is, you know, you already know what's coming. This is the craziest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I go to the rooftop. It's on this little rooftop little restaurant. I'm the only guy there. I sit down. I order the veggie platter, and the dude, the waiter, brings me the veggie platter. He also brings me a BB gun, and he's like, this is for the monkeys. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
He's like, this is for the monkeys, as if I'm the stupid one. And apparently... Bloodthirsty monkeys have been attacking the patrons of the restaurant while they eat. Mm-hmm. And the waiter and the owner, instead of moving the location of the restaurant, decided to arm the patrons with weaponry, of course. And so I have like BB gun in my left hand. I got paneer in my right. I'm like, what the? There's no way there's going to be like fucking monkeys.
Were you like confused? Like which hand holds the fork? Which hand holds the gun?
Should there be a tutorial? Is there a video tutorial I can use?
Sometimes I'm not sure if I have to use a knife and cut. Like which one gets the fork?
Right. Are these stun guns? Is this an actual magnum? Will I be killing these monkeys? No time to ask. I was thinking about this. I was like laughing to myself. Like this is probably just some like hilarious.
You're looking around for the camera, like
right. It's like a touristy trap. Yeah. Like, hey, got India. And then as I'm thinking that, three monkeys pop out of the rooftop, and I'm just like pop, pop, pop. I didn't even think twice. I just was like, it's on.
You just shot these monkeys.
I just shot them, like, out of nowhere. I just fucking pop, pop. I just, like, didn't think about it.
So these monkeys, you shot them with a BB gun?
Yes.
Are they dead, or they're just...
I don't know. What happens is, a lot of them, if I hit them,
yeah,
they run away. And if I shoot them, a lot of times they run away. Just the sound of it alone.
Just the sound, right.
Right. So I wasn't just like some amazing like shot marksman, just fucking dead left in the monkey heart. Left-handed BB gun headshot, heart shot, right? Like I was born for this. No, it's like the sound of it is like scatters them.
Because I bet people would go there just to shoot monkeys.
Right, right.
And it's the not food also.
It's not advertised. It's not like a thing where like, oh, here's the monkey shot. Yeah. Step right up. It was crazy. And I was the only one there. Like, I'm just like, what is happening? It just blew my mind. And as I'm thinking, four more monkeys pop up. I'm shooting monkeys. I shoot like, by the end of my meal, I shoot like three generations of monkeys. Like, there's cousins, grandmas.
You broke up like seven monkey families.
I'm like, to monkeys right now, looking in, I'm like a Hitler now. I'm like, yeah. I've just killed just legions of monkeys. And it's just wild because... You know, I was an Indian man shooting Indian, eating Indian food while shooting monkeys. I felt like I was in a racist video game. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Some dude from Arkansas got a comp sci degree and just made this game. He's just like, all right, it's going to be Indians. They're going to be shooting monkeys.
So were they coming at you or going for your food?
They were just on the roof. One of them jumped on the table, shot him again. I don't know what they were going for, dude. Mm-hmm. Monkeys are notorious for like attacking people too, just for no reason. They're not good animals. They're not good people. Monkeys are pieces of shit. They'll attack. They'll rape other monkeys. They'll just kill people. Like, they're crazy. They're genuinely insane. They have a lot of testosterone and they're just hopped up on shit all the time. And I'm just shooting these monkeys, like, wondering why there are, like, fucking 19 monkeys already. Like, this is an abnormal amount of monkeys, right?
Yeah.
I look down at my plate. The veggie platter apparently came with a fruit cup. And in that fruit was, like, only bananas. It was just full of fucking bananas.
They're messing with you. This is a tourist place, and they're messing with you.
I swear to God, I'm getting punked by these Indians.
Yeah.
It's just raw bananas are in this plate. And I think they'll be going for the bananas. I don't know, but that's monkey crack, right?
Yeah.
So literally, it's just a bunch of addicts trying to get my fucking banana, and I'm just shooting them in the head. And it's just straight up just wild. It's just straight up the most wild motherfucker. I'm terrified. I'm not even thinking. Like, you get normalized so quick. India is just like, you get thrown into this situation where there's no rules.
Right.
And you end up normalizing it in your head within seconds.
Humans can adapt to almost anything. Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Humans can adapt to a new husband. They can adapt to a new dad. They can adapt to nine bloodthirsty monkeys attacking you out of nowhere. Like, humans, we're a powerful bunch. We're a powerful bunch, man. The resilience factor here is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I ate the food. After a certain point, the monkeys stopped coming. I feel like they knew what was happening.
Like
the
sharpshooter.
Okay, this is a sharpshooter. we got a regular Tomb Raider here. And and I finished my meal in peace. And then I didn't leave a tip, obviously. And then and I left.
Did the waiter ever come back and explain it to you and say anything about the monkeys?
No. He apparently is one of those, like, he gave me the gun, so he thought his job was done. Like, that's as hospitable as I needed to be.
Right.
Bro, it was just so crazy. There was just like, I literally like, not like 10 monkeys a minute. Just every,
Was it fun? Was it just annoying?
It was annoying, but it was terrifying, really. I just wanted to eat.
Right.
And eventually I'm just like trying to finish. At one point I remember thinking, just like, let me just finish my food. Like, I just want to get the food in my body so I can leave. Like, because I'm terrified. The monkeys, I know the stories of monkeys raping dudes and, like, beating up people. Like, they're crazy animals.
How big were these monkeys? I'm picturing, like, little monkeys that
They're like, there's some that are this height.
Well, which is about four feet?
Yeah, for this height. There's mm-hmm. some that are half that. There's, like, a lot of shy sizes.
So they're about 4 feet tall monkeys?
They don't get to chimpanzee level, mm-hmm. but they're, like, almost, there's, like, huge, huge monkeys.
Do they have claws? Can you see?
I didn't get to see. Yeah, I'm not, like, a honorable American Revolutionary General. Don't shoot into the whites of their eyes. I shoot the moment I see anything about them. I don't care. I just shoot.
Yeah, I imagine they're pretty strong and crazy.
Now I'm starting to understand, like, the cops. You know, I never thought I'd be...
Sure, yeah.
You know, like, I get it, okay? It's crazy, you're shooting. Okay, now I'm starting to get it. You know? So, I didn't know I was going to come back less woke than I was before.
Did you ever feel any compassion or remorse for shooting monkeys?
Dude, I'll be real, man. I do not see monkeys as people. Uh-huh. I think They are subhumans, and I don't like them as creatures. I'm a monkey racist.
You are, yeah.
But you know, but it's so funny. It's like now in, you know, this movies where they have like no animals were harmed in the making of this movie. I can no longer say that in my act. You know what I'm saying? No animals.
You're trying to see movies that do harm
right,
animals.
Right, right. I'm like, I only see monkey genocide movies now. Oh, Jesus.
So you finally got to finish your food. No monkey attacked you.
Dude, it one of them really got close, dude. One of them jumped onto the table, and that freaked the fuck out of me, dude. And so but then I shot it again, and it just ran away. And I'm so glad it wasn't a real gun, because there was no reload. It was just a BB gun, so it was like, you know, 40 fucking bullets. I just kept shooting with no reload.
Do you have to return the gun, or can you bring it with you?
I just left it.
You left it? Did you want to just bring it? I would have kind of put it in my pocket.
Oh, dude, I wasn't thinking straight, man. I really, really wasn't thinking straight. Yeah. Like, if there was, people were like, did you take a selfie? No, I was too busy fending for my life. Right. Like, sorry, I couldn't take a cute little, what's up? It
would have been pretty awesome if you had a little tripod and just set
Bro, dude, if you saw what was happening, you would have been like, this is insane. Mm-hmm. This is fucking insane. But it was, now I look back on it, you know, I don't have rabies, so it's great, you know.
Right, yeah, what if one of the monkeys bit you?
Done. Who knows what they got? They got some fetal monkey shit. Monkey AIDS? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a thing.
So, how was the food?
you know, had better.
Could you imagine how clean the kitchen could possibly be?
Right. The food was pretty good, honestly. Indian food is never that bad, but like, dude, it was just...
Mostly vegetarian?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe some monkey meat thrown in.
I'm sure. All right, so you murdered some monkeys, ate some good vegetarian food.
Then I go to Taj Mahal, and Taj Mahal's like, it doesn't even compare to what's going on, what had just happened.
To the adventure to it.
Right? So I'm like, oh, that's a nice little dome. Off I go back to India. And it was just crazy. It was a crazy time. Mm-hmm. I'm alive. I'm here. I made it.
Were you traveling alone?
I was traveling alone.
Yeah.
Yes. It was kind of crazy to do in India, but I was just like, let's do it. Let's just go for it.
So you're from Bangladesh, but do you blend in there?
Yeah, immediately. Everyone speaks in Hindi to me. So like the, you know, people I don't know, they'll just throw Hindi at me and I'll just have to pretend like I can't hear, you know?
You were pretending you were deaf instead of telling
I don't know Hindi. I don't know how to talk to these people.
But you must have known in Hindi, I don't speak Hindi.
Yeah, so I just be like, nahi, nahi, which is no, nahi, nahi, nahi. I would just say no matter what.
Uh-huh.
And one time there was this old man who was like, Uttar kara, and he was saying something, and I was like, nahi, nahi, nahi. I thought he was trying to ask for money. Really, he was trying to get me to help him take his bag from the overhead bin.
Right.
And I just felt so bad when I realized that, because he asked someone else and he did it for him.
Yeah.
And so I just felt really shitty, like, fuck, I didn't understand him. So I would have helped him if I knew.
Right.
But I was just an asshole who was just like, nahi, 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 no, 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 stop, 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 stop.
Why did you choose to just say no, no to people instead of I don't speak Hindi?
I didn't like the idea. I was ashamed of it.
That you're ashamed that you didn't speak the language?
And I didn't like them knowing. So I was just like, nahi, nahi, just don't talk to me.
Mm. So you'd rather be an asshole than a foreigner?
Dude, yes. And you know what? That kind of is relatable. I didn't want to reveal that I didn't know about their culture, because I was an Indian. I'm proud of being Indian and Bengali. So the idea of them knowing that I don't speak Hindi just really irked me. I didn't like that.
That might be the safer choice, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want them to engage and all that shit.
And you didn't.
But I know if you want to say I don't know Hindi, you just say meh Hindi nahi bolta.
Mm-hmm.
Meh Hindi nahi.
And then what would they do if you said that? Would
they just be like, they might start speaking English? You know, they try to speak English to me, try to say some English like, oh, do you know? But even they don't really know that much English. You know that much.
Right.
It's like, you know, there's love there. There's love there. I love the people there, and I just never wanted to reveal. But sometimes I had to. Sometimes with rickshaws and stuff, you have to say where you're going, and they.
What do you mean rickshaws?
Oh, you mean like guys who drive. Autos, you know what I'm talking about, like
cab drivers.
It's not a cab. India has a lot of those smaller electric vehicles.
Okay.
So they're like small, they're like, you know, five seaters, and they're small little, they're the size of like maybe like from here to the end of that table, and small little vehicles.
Yeah.
You just look up Indian auto and you'll see it. It's like rickshaws. They're called rickshaws. Rickshaw is the one with a bike, where a guy on a bike pulls you. This is an auto rickshaw.
Cool.
Where it is, like, it's called an auto.
Mm-hmm.
Or a CNG in Bengali. Because CNG is certified natural gas.
Yeah.
And it's the type of gas that they run on. So sometimes they call it by the actual gas they run on. So it's like, get me a CNG, or just get me an auto rickshaw, basically.
You'd be like, get me a diesel. Get me a solar.
Get me a solar. There's no solar in India. Easy. You know, they still beat women, all right? They haven't gotten the solar power yet. Okay.
Yeah. What are some of the other big cultural shocks you experienced?
Nothing really, man. The boiling, it takes to get water hot in the shower, you have to turn on a switch outside of the bathroom. Mm-hmm. It's called the geyser. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it just literally turns on the hot water.
Yeah. I mean, they have that in Europe. Right. I saw that in Italy.
There's
and
that.
Spain,
there's
and
that. What else, man? I mean, after the monkey, it's going to go downhill. I mean, really, there's nothing else that was that shocking.
I don't know. I'm still, I think the shit on the train is actually that's worse pretty wild. Than the monkeys.
Monkeys, as you expected, right? India, monkeys, we get it.
Well, the thing about traveling to foreign countries sometimes, at least for me, has been like, there's almost too much experience sometimes right. that if you the brain can't process it
yeah.
all.
Yeah, it's too new.
It's too much. It's too new. Yeah. And it's just like, it's good to journal so you can kind of review it later and process it.
But right, right.
It's like going to Times Square in New York. It's just too much. Your brain just goes numb and shuts it all down.
Right, right. There was a fish spa I went to where, like, you know, you put your dirty feet in the in a spa and a bunch of fish eat off the dirt.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, yeah. So I did that.
So does that actually work?
I don't know if it worked. I mean, it felt great.
They're just nibbling on your feet?
They're nibbling off the dirt, like off you know, the kind of like the dead skin cells. It's a bunch of fish that eat dead skin cells.
So they eat the dead skin cells and then they shit on the new fresh skin. I mean, you're basically putting your foot in fish shit.
I guess. I never thought of it like that. That's so true. Yeah, but it was fun. It felt so weird. It was like literally like 100 fish just fucking beeline to your feet and just like eat it. So I was trying to think, like, what if I just put my dick in there and see what happens? Like, see if they fucking just nibble my dick up.
Could you have?
Dude, there was no one there. You know, yeah. It was a fish spot and like the workers just left.
Just between me and you, did you?
Just a tip. My friend was also there. Me and my friend were both doing it. It was just like really crazy.
It's real
and
bonding.
We were both like, just do it. Put your dick in, man. Just put your dick in, dude. Just put your dick in.
So you did travel with a friend for a little bit of it? Of
the trip? I had in Hyderabad, where the fish bar was, my friend was getting married. So I was there for like a whole week.
Oh, cool.
Just hanging out. So he was getting married and I was just chilling with him. He's one of my best friends from middle school. And so we were just hanging out.
From Bangladesh.
Fuck you. He's from Texas.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right.
I never lived there in Bangladesh.
Right, you grew up in Texas, right? Yeah, that's right. Dallas area.
My best friend, oh, so he's your people. He could have been white. You don't know. Oh, your people congregating. The tribe begins. But yeah, it was show. Did a whole weekend of wedding there. Whole thing, the white horse, everything. Now you can be racist. Now whatever you think was happening, was happening.
I don't really know much about an Indian wedding. Why is it a week long? Is it... You were there for a week? Or
No, it was a weekend, but I was just there for a week. Okay. Right? But the white horse was there.
What is this white horse?
The groom always comes in on the day they're going to fuck. The groom comes in on a white horse.
Was this an arranged wedding?
No, they met in med school in Texas.
They met in Texas and they're just moving to India?
No, they just had the wedding in India. Oh, all the families in India.
They're still doing the arranged marriages there, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Not really. It's not as much.
Is it majority of Indians are arranged marriage?
No. I mean, actually, I don't even. I really. That's just out of my ass. Then I don't know.
Okay.
I'd be just like the guy on the train if I talk to you right now.
Just don't shit on the couch.
Just public shitting. Just public verbal shitting.
So they ride on the white horse. What is the metaphor for that?
It's like a power thing. It's like also a harkening back to old Indian times thing, because Indians used to be warriors. A lot of warriors in Indian times.
Fighting the British,
fighting other Indians. Before the British came, Indians were fighting amongst each other. There's the Mughal Empire, which is the Muslims. They came out from Afghanistan. They came in. They took over a lot of India.
Uh-huh.
A lot of dynasties, you know, of empires. Empires rising, falling. India has been a very feudal kind of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. British came in, beat the last remaining emperors. Once the British left... Yeah. Gandhi comes in, and Gandhi and all those guys, mm-hmm. Nehru, all those guys created a democracy, and it's been that ever since.
Now, but Buddhism was born in India.
Yeah, Buddhism was born from Hinduism. Like the guy, Siddhartha Gautama, was a Hindu.
Right, but now it's such a tiny, there's barely any Buddhists there.
That's interesting, yeah. There was persecution there a little bit. You know, Hindus is a religion. It's fucking Hindu, mm-hmm. you know? So during the 1947 partition, a lot of Muslims killed Hindus, a lot of Hindus killed Muslims. I mean, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hinduism, they believe in the caste system and reincarnation.
Not as much anymore. You know, like caste system is only in the most rural areas. You'll have caste system still. Rural, like super, like shit in public rural, you know, like straight up like old school Indians. Now it's not a thing anymore. There's not that much of it.
So the religion is kind of just changing with the times a little bit?
Yeah. It's getting more modern. And really, the caste system was like not even part of Hinduism. Mm-hmm. It's like an offshoot. You know, there's a lot of different texts of Hinduism, and there's no one right text. Hinduism, not like this you know, like the Abrahamic religions where there's like one book, this is it.
Right.
Hinduism has a lot of ideas. It's a large, large kind of pot.
Do they have a book?
They have the Vedas. They have the Upanishads. They have Bhagavad Gita. They have a lot of, you know, no one book. The Vedas is probably the most important, I guess, to the Hindus. Mm-hmm. There's no one book that's like super Hindu.
Well, every religion has its own kind of offshoots. Side book. And, yeah.
The indie book, right? They get the major label, you know, and then you got this indie, you know, side.
But they all have like their own takes on it. It's never like, that's the problem with understanding Muslims and extremists, right, and the differences, the nuances.
Right, because, you know, a lot of these books are written in such, like, you know, broad language that it's really easy to interpret.
Interpret your own crazy way.
Oh, God. Oh, my God, yeah. A.K.A. ISIS. But ISIS, you know, they got some good points, right? But
he's kidding, folks. He's kidding.
Please. I'm just joking. But yeah, super fun, super wild, super crazy. A lot of colors, a lot of flavors. It was just explosion. Every day I was finding new shit to like video and just like see, and it was just insane.
Is most of the country vegetarian?
Yes.
Why is that?
Hindus don't believe in eating meat.
And that's kind of an offshoot of Buddhism, right? Or Buddhism is an offshoot of that.
I don't know if it's a Buddhist thing. The Hindus believe cows are sacred, you know.
They believe what's sacred?
Cow.
Just cows.
You know, they don't believe in killing a lot. It's a very like peaceful religion. Mm-hmm. You know, they have those kind of like hippy dippy values a little bit. It's a little much.
You could shoot a monkey, but you can't kill a monkey.
Right.
But they don't believe in killing animals for any reason.
Yeah, a lot of them do. I mean, bro, if you eat people, Hindus will eat meat too. You know, there's shitty Hindus out there that'll eat meat, bro. I ate a lot of meat there.
You did?
Yeah.
You're like looking around for the meat places. Oh,
bro, it's that's so funny. It's like beef is actually outlawed.
Right, because of the cow.
Right.
Yeah.
Chicken you can eat. You know, so I'm looking for beef. I'm like, you know, going around like, is there a beef here?
That must be sacrilegious, right?
Yeah, I couldn't find it. There are some places that sell it. Like in Kolkata, if you go to India,
yeah,
in Kolkata, they will have like underground beef markets.
So what is the significance of the cow? Do you know?
Again, out of my ass, I really don't know. It's a sacred animal. I think it has to do with something with like, it was mentioned in a lot of the texts, and it's just seen as a symbol of something like of godliness.
Right. So you don't want to eat it.
Yeah. I think the gods would come down in that form or something like that.
But you could drink the holy water.
Which is milk, right?
I don't know.
I'm not Hindu, so I'm talking from like my friends.
Do you still identify with being a Muslim?
Yeah.
Are you practice?
I do nothing except believe in God. That's it. So that last part is there.
This might be a heavy question, but what does that look like for you when you say you believe in God?
Anal, mostly.
No, until you're to preserve your virginity. Right, of course.
It's a loophole. There's enough things in the world that don't make sense to me that I'm like, you know, I can see this being a real thing. But it's really just like a cursory thing. It's not like I have discipline, but culturally, I grew up Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
I even believe Islam is real. I don't think there's one truth. I think once you die, there's not one thing. It's not like logic applies. It's like, why can't everything be true? Why not? Because obviously when you die, there's no more rules that apply from the human world. So sure, everything's right. So I even believe that what they're saying is true. It's just I also believe that I'm bad at following it, and I don't think that's the only way to follow a life. So
besides the real basics of like be good, not bad, don't murder.
What are the Muslim things do I do? Hate gays.
That's a joke too.
I'm joking. Yeah. I'm joking. I'll go to the mosque sometimes, and you know I'll pray there. But really, you know, it's the Muslim prayer style doesn't really vibe with me exactly. Like I don't really get into it, but after I pray the Muslim style, I'll sit down and I'll reflect and I'll get into a space.
What is it? What do you mean the style? Just the
There's a way, the chanting. You bitch. Is there a bonfire in there? Did you guys sacrifice virgins? No. The way people pray, like the Muslim, there's a certain way to pray.
I don't know what that is.
You don't heard of that. So you stand up and you say Allahu Akbar and you say surahs from the Quran and you put your hands over your chest. There's a specific way to pray.
It's like a dance move. You got to like know these dance moves. Left hand, right hand.
It's like DDR, but like wait, for God. It's DDR for God. That's hilarious. But yeah, it's that. There's like arrows right as you, you know, as you stand, and you can like hit the lights, you know. Dish, ha ha, and God is real.
It's like going to yoga class if you don't know the moves. You're like, ah!
right. That's hilarious. So I'll do that. That sort of set of specific rules and actions, and then I'll sit down and I'll just reflect a little bit.
Do you? All right, two-part question.
Uh-oh.
Do you believe that there's an afterlife, and do Muslims believe there's an afterlife?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I believe there's an afterlife, and Muslims also believe there's an afterlife, yes.
So what is a heaven?
Yeah.
And a hell?
Hell is a little more amorphous. They believe in, like, an absence of God, if you, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't really go for it, then there's, like, an absence there. But, you know... Imams culturally have described it as a fireplace, you know, but it's more images that they cook up. But in the Quran, there's no real like you'll burn in fire, you know.
Right, none of that.
Right, it's a little more like how to be good, how to do these things, how to love God, and that kind of thing.
So, what does heaven look like?
I don't know. Fuck if I know, dude. Fuck if anyone knows, dude. I would hope it's just chill.
Yeah, you're trying to get there, right?
Hopefully. I mean, again, it's such a cursory thing. I just look at myself as a stupid human being who doesn't know anything, and there's enough weird shit in the world that I'm like, this kind of like shows me that, you know, that maybe there's something. And so that's just how I live, and it doesn't really affect me. I just give love, and no matter what's happening, just give love and receive love. I don't live in a Muslim based time table, but
right,
you know, I am Muslim and I do believe in God. There's two things I know,
and it helps you get by in this crazy world.
It does, and it's not just like a solve, like a band-aid, like, oh, it's okay, we're gonna be okay. But you know, it's something that wouldn't actually give me any solve if I didn't see any logic in it. So, you know, there I'm not a blind believer in anything, but I see enough things where it does appeal to my logic a little bit, like some things of it just like, oh yeah, I get it.
Does this God control things? Does he have control of people and actions?
Yeah, sure, why not. But also maybe you have free will as well. Like, I don't fucking know. Like the idea, I'm trying to stress that I know nothing, and that's why I'm okay with whatever's happening. So these little mini things, like mini little, I don't know the dossier of God powers. That does, you know what I'm saying? I just know that blah, blah, blah. I see it. And
you're taking the leap of faith.
Is it a leap? Leap of faith means I don't see any truth in it. I'm just like saying, I'll just believe it. That's not there. I see enough things that I'm like, logically, I see it.
Okay, so you know my next question is going to be, how do you explain all the atrocities in the world?
If this life means nothing and the next life means everything, then that explains it.
How so?
If you suffer in this life to get a full life, like say this is nothing. Say you had a two spots, right? And one
two comedy spots?
Two comedy spots, right?
Real suffering.
This is a real fantasy here for you.
Yeah.
Two spots in one day, all right?
Are they late night check spots?
Why not? Let's say the first one is a late night check spot, right? Let's say everyone at the end of their life, there's two spots, right? The second spot is packed house at Gotham for everybody.
A good spot.
You're going third. Going third. Everyone's going third.
Prime even though location.
That doesn't make sense. Everyone's going third.
Right.
Even the host is going third. Right? That's what the afterlife is, right?
I thought that was heaven.
Right. That's what I said. Okay. So heaven is everyone's going third.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
This is a spot. This is the Gotham Comedy Club. No matter where you end, no matter what your first spot is, everyone gets Gotham third spot. Right? Wouldn't that take away the power of the first spot? No matter what happens in the first spot, I'm getting Gotham third spot no matter what.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. The first spot, it doesn't matter if that's a check spot. It doesn't matter if that's a bar gig. It doesn't matter if that's, footprints where it's a hood room where everyone's turned their back. And they're not even facing the room. It doesn't matter if it's a drunk Irish bar. It doesn't matter what it is. You're going to Gotham third spot right after this.
So is that
a metaphor? I think this is a metaphor for life.
Yeah. So
why I see the afterlife is like not being a problem.
So the first spot is like suffering.
Yeah. But I mean, again, that doesn't mean that I'm okay with someone suffering.
Right.
You
of
know,
course. Yeah.
You, as a human being, you want to help human beings regardless of heaven or hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There's some things in this life that you just have to do regardless of whether or not it's what's happening after we die. That's one thing I believe in, helping people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, regardless of what's going on after you die.
Right.
Like, always help people.
So, That's good. Why would innocent people suffer? That's just a test to get to heaven?
I don't know if it's a test. It just is. And again,
why would a God do that?
No, no, then? As I'm saying, like, the idea is it doesn't matter what the first spot is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the first spot is.
Yeah.
Because the second spot is third spot at Gotham. So when you're at third spot of Gotham, it doesn't matter what spot you just came back from.
Right.
You're at third spot in Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. That's a metaphor I'm using. That's again. Yeah. I'm not saying suffering is okay. Please don't think that I think that Jews should be killed. I don't. I mean, maybe Jews.
Wait, but how besides, did you get there?
Right, because I think they should be killed. But the idea is that if this life means nothing,
yeah,
then and the other life means everything. Then no matter what's happening, it's just what's happening before third spot of Gotham.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hmm. Interesting.
I don't think people should suffer. I think it's very indignant. I want to make that very clear. I don't believe in child prostitution, I promise. But that's just one thing. I mean, obviously, this is an idea. I'm not stringent in my own beliefs. I could be changed. I could be taught to.
You're an evolving human.
I'm evolving. I'm learning. You know, so this is, you know, you're throwing me some questions. I'm fucking answering them the way I know at this moment in my life. If you ask me that same question 5 weeks later, I might have a different answer for you. I'm malleable. I'm fucking growing. You know,
there's if you follow Osama on Facebook, you'll see that he's evolving, and his next Molly trip could totally transform him into another.
What the fuck is happening? I feel like everyone's a little bitch. Goes all the way. I get so loving, I become hateful.
Okay. And you're definitely a comedian because your God metaphors are doing spots. Nice.
Hilarious.
So tell me about comedy in India. What is... Do they follow the custom? It's like based on American stand-up? Or is it based on British?
No, American.
It is, okay.
American. All the heroes are Americans. If you
they
ask
hate
any,
the British that much still.
British people are friends. That's funny. Jimmy Carr comes and they're just like, yeah, we get it. You know, the American comedy, their heroes are Bill Burr, their heroes are, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, fucking all the American guys.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I put Kimmel as a Bill Burr? Sorry.
Or a stand-up.
I know. I don't know why I said that. They, you know, the two megatons of stand-up, Jimmy Kimmel and Bill Burr. Bill Burr, CK, you know, they love, you know, Maniscalco there. They love Maniscalco there.
Do they go back as far as like Richard Pryor?
They Lou Pryor. I saw a couple people say Pryor. Mm-hmm. A couple people say Carlin. You know, they love those guys. Bill Hicks, some guy said. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they love American comedy, but you know, they also have some Hindi heroes now. You know, there's a handful of Hindi comics that have gotten huge.
Cool.
In the last couple of years. I mean, we're talking huge, bro. We're talking like millions of views on YouTube. Millions for every stand-up clip. Unheard of stuff in America. You put up a stand-up clip right now, you know, Gary Levitt at Greenwich Comedy Club. What, 30 views, right? 100 views?
Yeah, more than 100.
Right, you bitch. You know, 120, you know. But there they put, you know, Amit Tandon at Desi Comedy Fest in India. Bro, fucking 80,000 views in 2 days. And that just keeps building.
Just because people are hungry comedy,
for stand-up.
And there's
a lot
over
of people. Exactly.
Billions
of
people.
You got it. It was insane to watch these people who are 2 years in headlining theaters because there's so many people ready to see stand-up.
You must have slayed there.
It was really fun. I bombed two or three times there because the older crowd was a little like they didn't get the English.
Right.
But the moment I got a younger crowd, which is most people who are watching comedy are younger people, and they're loving it. It was really fun.
And they got your English.
They got the vibe. They got the English. Them crowd work. They love crowd work. They love it, dude. And India loves doing applause breaks. Mm-hmm. India gives more applause breaks than any fucking crowd I've ever seen. That's how they interact with comedy.
Right.
Right now they haven't seen enough people, so when they love something, they just clap. So you'll get like people just clapping like.
That's their version of
a minute. Yeah.
That's their version of an urban room.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude.
So you have a bit that talks about growing up Muslim and having sex and how that changed your belief.
Work fine.
You did that.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like there was some stuff that was too risque for the audience?
Nah, not at all. They loved it. They loved it all.
Even the older crowd?
Older crowd was tough. That's why I bombed those crowds. I fucking, that was too much for them.
Too edgy?
Just my energy too wasn't, like, they didn't understand that, you know, my vibe. They haven't really seen that. Americans, or Indians have seen American, like the younger ones have seen American cadence, have seen American style. So they've seen something like, oh, Jim Carrey, but brown. But there, they haven't seen the brown. It's like terrifying to them, the older people. They just couldn't understand what I was saying, really. I was speaking, I was trying to be as slow as possible, but even then they were like, what? You know?
Yeah.
So it was tough for the older people. I really was tough. But once 35 or under, done, smash king.
And then you did what we normally do with stand up. You started doing crowd work if you're bombing.
Definitely. Yeah. Once they, I mean, there's some jokes I just don't get. And I was finding that line each time, every time I did a joke. It's totally no man's land, right?
Right.
So, you know, luckily most of my stuff worked, but there's like 10% stuff. Like white people jokes, forget about it. They don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, a lot of the references don't work. A lot of
white people are like, what the fuck? But Osama name, they got Arabic stuff, they got, you know, I did some Muslim upbringing, they got. You know, relationship stuff they got, of course, you know.
Yeah, even relationships, I imagine, are a little different there.
Same stuff.
Same thing.
You know, in the rural areas, you're getting a little more close to the truth. In America, in Indian cities, it's the same thing.
Right, because
you're in working, cities. People fucking, it's the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Are you going to go back?
Yeah. I did really well. They all love me. I hoped. The main booker was like, you did amazing. So hopefully I make this a thing.
Mm-hmm. You know. How's the pay there?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. They do like $100 per show, no matter what the spot. And it's just like for a club spot,
you know. That's $100 American dollars?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So then a club spot, will usually, you know, they'll do 25 to 75 for these New York clubs. So as 100 is already solid.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost seller, basically.
Compared to New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. How big are the rooms there?
Same thing as America.
It could be small. It could be big.
Exactly.
Has comedy made it to theaters there?
Yeah.
It has.
Bro, when I tell you it's crazy. Imagine they saw our template for stand-up that took 20 years to perfect, all the industry stuff. They did that in 9 years.
Right.
So they took all, they had a template. They had a view of what happened. So they watched that history. They took the best parts of it and they, you know.
Yeah.
They fucking did what we did in 30 years in literally 5 years.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's how life works.
It's fucking amazing. Yeah,
it's evolving. It's not cultural appropriation, right?
Right. Yeah, who knows, dude. They're definitely doing American art, but.
Yeah, you know. That's cool, though. That's what it's all about.
You know, thug life. Thug is actually a Hindi word.
Is it?
Yeah.
What does it mean there?
Thug.
Guy that shits on train.
Every word means that, brother. But in British Empire days, they were when they were traveling from city to city, roving bands of pickpockets and rapscallions and murderers would kill and steal from the British people. They were called thuggies, these Indians. And so basically that word came back to Britain. Thuggy became thug as like a bad human being. And then, you know, every black person uses it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes it into hip hop.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So thug life is really when you're fixing a computer. When you're doing IT, that's thug life. Yeah.
Was there a difference between Mumbai and Delhi?
Mumbai's more modern. Mm-hmm. Delhi's a little more Hindi, a little more Indian.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, Mumbai's better. Mumbai, if you go to India, I'd rather go to Mumbai. It's like New York. It's fun. It's wild.
Yeah, but
it's
if exciting. I'm going to India, I don't want to go to New York. I want to experience India. But
you'll see. It's like India, New York. It's like India. So like you'll love the energy. And Delhi is just, it's like a little, you know, it's fun, but it's like the food's great in Delhi. But it's a little more just like boring, I think.
Mm-hmm. But it's more... Old school, authentic Indian?
Yeah.
It's less gentrified.
You'll see India, bro. You'll see India in Mumbai. I'm saying it's New York, but it's like fucking India, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone from India goes there. So it's not different cultures. You're not seeing white people everywhere.
Right.
You're seeing Indians from everywhere in India there.
Right. And India's big.
Oh, yeah.
It's vast.
It's bad.
Yeah. How do you get from Mumbai to Delhi?
I took a plane.
You took a plane?
Yeah, it was a 2-hour, 30-minute plane.
No shitting on the plane.
There was shitting, but there's at least a door in between me and the shitter.
Is it actually a bathroom?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a plane, you know, plane bathroom.
It's an airplane.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's good. No more monkey guns?
No, zero monkeys. Zero monkeys. It felt good. Yeah, and once I had that last monkey running, I saw monkeys again in a park, and I just kind of like, is this a hit on me? You know what I'm saying? Like this one's for Jack. You know,
you're hoping they don't recognize you,
right? Right. Like
we heard about.
Like, oh, we heard about this one. Yeah, this is straight from Agra. Pow in the face. No, but they were not part of the monkey mob. I was good. I survived, and here I am. Made it back.
How do you think? I mean, I don't look like particularly white, but how do you think a very white? I guess they like Bill Burr. Can't get whiter than
what
that.
What about you? Mean like a white comic?
How would they do over there?
Mumbai, they do fine. Mm-hmm. Delhi, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Delhi's a little more indie, man. Really Indian. But Mumbai, I think, you know, they could do it.
Yeah,
they can. And if you stick out with crowd work, if you're a good crowd worker, done. You can do it.
How would Seinfeld do over there?
He'd do fine.
Yeah?
Seinfeld's fine. Hilarious. Any world comic will do fine there. They know how to get to the core of stuff.
Even though he's a Jew, that would be okay?
Indians don't hate Jews. They hate Muslims.
Really?
Yeah.
They hate Muslims?
Muslim-Hindu tension.
There is, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
You feel that traveling around?
Nah, I didn't really feel that, but, you know, it's there.
Can they tell by looking at you that you're a Muslim?
No way.
You can't tell?
Nope. Unless I wore, like, a, you know, Punjabi and, like, a little hat. Mm-hmm. Muslim yarmulke.
Yeah.
You know what? Unless that.
Did you dress like you do here in New York?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
So you must have stood out?
No. But in the cities, I want to stress the cities. It's like America. Everyone knows what's going on.
Right.
Everyone's wearing sweatpants. I was the worst person, like worst dressed person there. People are looking good, dude.
Yeah.
Looking fades everywhere. Everyone's got like jewelry everywhere. They got like Zara shit. Everyone's got it.
It's like metrosexual.
Everyone kind of looks amazing. Yeah. They're ripped Indians, bro. It's fucking America basically. Mm-hmm. But the rural area is where it gets Indian.
Well, I found from traveling around Europe that the cities in Europe, they dress better than they do here in the States.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just what more put together, everything's more ironed, sharp.
Stylish.
Much more stylish.
Yeah, definitely.
We're kind of frumpy.
We're a little frumpy. We're a little disgusting. We're a little fat.
Yeah.
Greasy foods, you know. They love our culture, but they're like, just stay over there, all right? You're disgusting.
Mm-hmm. But you're a sharp dresser.
I like dressing well.
Yeah.
I like three clothes that I wear, you know what I'm saying? It's like if you have three or four things that are nice and just mix and match them, people call you fashionable, even though you have four clothes.
You got any plans to go back there?
Not yet. I love America, man. It's my country.
Yeah.
Home of the brave, land of the free.
But wasn't it nice to get, like, here in New York as a stand-up, it's very humbling.
Yeah.
You're around great talent.
All the time.
And, you're kind of a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
There, you must have felt real special.
I feel like comedy's comedy, man. There's funny guys there. There's guys who are hilarious there. There's guys who's bad there.
Mm-hmm.
You hear there's guys who are hilarious here. There's guys, there's heroes there. There's heroes here. It's the same shit, dude.
Yeah.
Picture these open mics. Some people are good. Some people are doing a Hindi version of So What Else Is New. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's the same shit. It's a Hindi translation of this worked at the last mic. Okay. You know, it's the same shit.
Right. You saw the same kind of things. Same tropes.
So what else? That's in Hindi. Really? Exact same shit.
What else do you want to talk about?
In Hindi.
Well, there's shows you on English and Hindi?
Yeah. Most of the guys speak mostly Hindi. So they're getting the same thing. And, you know, they're getting the Hindi and the English in the same show.
In the same show. That's normal there?
Very normal. A lot of the acts are like half Hindi, half English.
Do you think if you were totally fluent in Hindi and you did your act in Hindi, it would have gone over better?
I don't think so. My style that I'm funny in is American, is English. So the thing that makes you the most funny, do it. People, humans relate to humans. They don't relate to languages, you know?
Right.
If you come at someone in a wrong Hindi and mean Hindi, they're not going to be more nice to you because you're speaking Hindi.
Right.
You're coming out with that shitty energy. So as long as you have good energy, that's universal. I think good energy is universal.
Yeah.
I really think that. Except in Russia. Apparently they're fucking insane. But besides Russians,
right,
who don't understand heart, besides them, I think most people vibe with good energy.
Yeah. I mean, your stand-up is pretty high energy.
Definitely is.
Yeah. And is there a style there yet?
Yeah. Again, different. Everyone's different.
Because here in New York, you're high energy for New York. New York is very stand there, don't move, say the jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
And where in LA, it's more animated, a lot more act outs.
Right, right. Again, there's so many styles. Even New York, I wouldn't say it's just that. I would say New York has everything.
Oh, of course.
You know what I'm saying? Same with India. A lot of people, like everyone's, it's a little newer, you know, no one there has been doing it more than 10 years because stand-up wasn't there for 10 years. It's literally been 9 years since the thing been started.
So if anyone any comedians here that have been doing it for more than 10 years go there. They've actually been doing comedy longer than it's existed
in comedy.
That's pretty cool.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild. But Indians, props to them, man. They are creating a massive industry that is raking the cash and is mad impressive. And I feel like Americans could learn something from Indians a little bit.
And they like the ranting, because that's like kind of an American thing. Like Bill Burr is kind of a ranter. Bill Hicks is definitely a ranter.
They love that. They love the crowd work. They love, dude. They love crowd work. I stress that enough. Like, they love getting shit on.
What about the stereotypes? Like, if you just, like, you know, do kind of hacky reinforcement of stereotypes.
They don't like a lot of international comics that came there before me were bombing, apparently, because they were doing, like, coony bits. Like, hey, there's a lot of traffic here. There's cows on the road. Just like you wouldn't go to a black room and be like, I love fried chicken. They hate that, too. They hate you trying to relate to them for no reason, just pandering.
Pandering.
Pandering is universally hated, dude. Nobody likes a panderer.
Yeah.
Nobody.
What about kind of someone that's trying to be antagonistic or something?
What do you mean? Like an angry comic?
Angry comic, but like at you.
Are you funny? Are you funny?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing here. Are you funny?
Right.
Are you funny? If you're funny, it'll work. If you're not funny, it's just going to bum.
Funny's funny.
Funny's funny, dude. That's what I realized.
And you really don't want to go there and be the king of Indian comedy.
I really wouldn't be able to, man. There's those guys who are killing in Hindi at such a level that I'm like, why would I choose, if I'm an Indian, why would I choose Usama over this guy?
You weren't the best on the shows there?
I was best sometimes. Sometimes I wasn't. Sometimes there was a guy named Vipul Goyal, who was a headliner. It was all his people. They were all his fans. But, yo, he smashed on some New York shit. But on the showcase shows, I would say I killed the hardest. When I killed. If I bombed, I bombed the hardest, for sure.
Were there any other English comedians there besides you?
No.
You were the only ones performing in English.
All the Hindi comics do English too, but they do. They work in Hindi a lot in their English. So everyone's speaking English.
And you think they can come here to New York and perform and do all right?
Nope.
They wouldn't do all right?
Oh, man, because they got to do only English. You can't throw in Hindi at these guys in Lantern. Are you kidding me? But that's what I told all these guys that I liked. I'm like, yo, bring 7 minutes of English material. Mm-hmm. Really bring 10 minutes of English material and I can get you up in some spots. You know,
but it would be such a different, it would be the opposite experience for them because they'd come here and be like, oh, there's no treatment. I don't get a drink. I get nothing.
New York's brutal, dude.
Brutal.
New York hits you in like the face. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't expect them to have a good time.
Right. You got to warn them of that stuff.
But New York will create you, dude. New York will give you the business.
Yeah. You feel it doing your art here. Definitely. When you go there. You're definitely like, whoa. That's great, man. So do you think this is a new avenue for here? Maybe go there twice a year?
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. Get some money in these markets. I really think I can do well there because I did do well there. First time I did there, I did well. So the second time I go there, I'm going to have all this knowledge way more, you know, with it. I'm going to use that, obviously.
And people here will be like, how does he have 1 billion views on YouTube? Right.
I'm trying to take advantage. I'm trying to be like that, you know, like King Leopold of Belgium. When he was walking around Congo, he's like, this is kind of nice. I'm going to take over every part of this country. That was me, but with stand-up. I was like, I'm going to fucking destroy this town.
Yeah, and eventually, I mean, it could probably pay for your trip, pay for your time.
Yeah, they did. They paid for airfare, money. They paid for lodging, they paid for everything. Yeah.
Amazing.
So fun. Super fun.
That's awesome, man. All right, I see a future.
I'm excited.
Yeah, let's international Usama.
And I can see you doing some Arab countries, you know what I'm saying? Assimilating there, just a little bit of Arabic, right?
Just don't tell them I'm a Jew. That's when the shoe drops. Like, he kind of looks Arab.
And that's when the Jew drops, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, pop. Exactly. What about comedy in Bangladesh?
I didn't go there. It's a little behind. I think it's not as, definitely it's not as huge there yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a couple of guys doing it.
You need a guy to go there to start it.
It's crazy there. It's crazy there, dude. But it's not, the stand-up is not ingrained. Give it a couple more years. I think it'll happen.
Yeah.
It's coming, though.
You don't want to be the guy.
I don't know, man. I like America, dude. I want to be the best. I want to be the best New York. That's the best.
You just like the women here. You just like American women.
This is cutie pies in India. I had some dates here and there.
Were you Tindering it up in India?
I was a little bumbling. Yeah, I was. You know me. But yeah, New York is the place, man. If you're trying to be the best comic in the world, New York.
Yeah.
New York.
Yep.
This is the place.
Absolutely. Congratulations, man.
Thanks, buddy. So fun.
Exciting future.
Mad fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50,
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.